Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years and under, in accordance with the time he had learnt from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, I've got a few pictures to show you if you lose the thread of what I'm trying to say. The Nativity story invites us to feel wonder. On occasion, we may be called, with all of Matthew's readers and hearers over the centuries, into the realms of the extraordinary. For Matthew, the presence of angels is an integral element in the Nativity story. Mary had been asked by the angel Gabriel to yield to the impossible possibility that she might become the bearer of God into the world. An angel of the Lord had then appeared to Joseph, reassuring him about Mary. Now, following the birth of Jesus, an angel warns Joseph to take the Holy Family to safety in Egypt. In my own experience, dreams are not so frequent as they used to be, but often can seem baffling and incoherent. Just as the final chaotic sparks of one day's brain activity as it winds down, or the first noisy buzz of the new day's energy as the brain wakes back up again. Sometimes, however, our dreams may reveal more. Even though it is very occasionally, Matthew might suggest angels might come. Dreams may be common, lucid, or memorable dreams, or perhaps less so, and angelic encounters are very unusual. We cannot chase dreams, even less so angelic encounters, but we can nurture a quiet state of alertness to the presence of Emmanuel, of God with us, and of God within us. We can give ourselves to the many wonders of daily life that, in God's grace, come our way, and the wonder of God's creation surrounding us, full of divine life, even in winter. But then, in the celebratory season of Christmas, yesterday known as Holy Innocence, comes as a shock. But it is important that it is remembered. It can be easy to overstate the extent of the bad things that happen around us and the wider world, but truly terrible things do happen. Human beings do dehumanizing things. Not only the prevalence of stabbings in some of our major cities, but in the ongoing bloodshed in the Middle East and the suppression of minorities in far western China and Myanmar and many others. In Matthew's account, one of the great horrors of the New Testament period is described, the killing by Herod of the babies and young children of Bethlehem. In our own time, innocents continue to be abused and massacred. So how do we ourselves react to such terrible events? We should, of course, strive to do whatever we can to ensure that they are not repeated. But we also need to lament. Lamentation is one of the tough gifts of the Hebrew Scriptures. The spaces they create for lament suggest that it is a practice that enables us to engage with what has happened and perhaps prepare ourselves to be involved in the shaping of a much better future. Lamentation is a key step along the path towards a better world. For this to happen, we need to give ourselves to it, not rushing on to some supposedly happier place, but giving room for the lamentation to breathe. Then in time we can discover a measure of God's healing. As with joy, we all lament in different ways. However you do it, may you find the courage to enter a place of lament and discover the hope that will emerge. So then in our story, it became time to go home. Once again, Joseph encounters an angel and a return home is planned. As the story unfolds in Matthew's account, it turns out that Nazareth will be the new family home. We are all trying to find a place to call home, a place where we can be ourselves. That is a source of energy and restoration, a place where, as the Old Testament prophet Micah put it, they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. Such a home is the setting out of which we may bring our God-given goodness to the world. Home is also located within us, wherever we are. This is home as the still centre within which we may discover both ourselves and God. It is the location of a life of prayer and the means to our ever-deepening sense of our union with God, a place where we come to realise that we are truly beloved by God. There is an orthodox understanding of this still place as the cave of the heart. It is our true home and one that moves with us wherever we go, wherever we are. It is also the place of belonging and becoming through which all that the prophets have ever hoped for may be best fulfilled. And so the story of Jesus' birth, as told by Matthew, comes to an end. It is a strange tale, one of dreams and prophecies, where angels give warnings and advice. The arrival of Jesus is told in just one short sentence. And we are told nothing about the circumstances of his birth. Mary herself plays a tiny part, seemingly simply the human vehicle for the divine event, a far cry from the active participant in the world's redemption described in Luke's version. The action is with the men, with Joseph and the visitors from the east, whose ears are attuned to the realm of God and whose faith is strong enough to act upon stars and dreams. We are not spared the darker side of the story and the cries of infants and mothers in pain echoing down the centuries to today in Idlib in Syria, tearing at our hearts. But in all this, God's plan prevails. From the first days, the means whereby the redemption of God's children will be fulfilled as assured. The prophets sing to us of a Messiah. The generations build one upon another, son after son, from Abraham to David and thence to Jesus, son of Joseph, the carpenter, called a Nazarene. The faithful listen to the words of God and act upon them with courage and with faith. The wicked are defeated, and God's will is done on earth. Praise the Lord. Amen.